Thinking your chronic back pain was caused by an old sports injury? You could be painfully wrong. It might be an inflammatory condition called ankylosing spondylitis, or AS. Stay tuned, because later in the show, we'll tell you more. This message is brought to you by AbbVie.
Welcome to the Roughing the Passer podcast, Friday edition. Late Friday edition. Will Brinson here with Nick Costas. You can subscribe via iTunes. We would love you to leave a comment or a review. Shout out to the guy who said that I sound like I was recording in a porta potty. That was cool of him, Nick.
Yo, porta potties are awesome, man. If I could think of one place I'd love to go to the bathroom, it's a porta potty at a public event.
Have you ever have you used a porta potty? Like a,
absolutely, hell yeah.
Not like number one.
No, only number one.
Only number one. You would never use a porta potty number two.
I would rather have kidney failure. I would rather hold it into the point that my kidneys, like, there has to be a medical procedure on my kidneys.
I was working at a job back before I was in sports media, obviously, but it was like a construction sort of type of work, you know, hard work. My dad's trying to teach me a lesson, and it was sort of an off-site issue, and there wasn't a bathroom built, and, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Anyway, I hope you roll that right into your Friday, people. We're going to make some picks for you. We got Joey Bosa, Chargers defensive lineman, the rookie who's caught the league by storm since they finally wised up and gave him his full contract. We'll talk about him. I wonder if we'll get a note about talking about porta potties on this for the show. Do you think we'll get a note from anybody? That's how you find out if your bosses listen.
I feel like everyone uses them, so I feel like it's not really that big a deal.
Well, we didn't say anything bad. It's literal bathroom talk. But I mean, it wasn't necessarily
literal bathroom humor.
Yeah, it's literal. Yeah, exactly. Literal bathroom humor. Okay, let's get this party started. Let's go through some picks. Did you have Tampa Bay or Atlanta?
I actually did not pick the game against the spread. Oh. If I had to have picked it, I would have taken Tampa Bay with the points, Atlanta straight up. But I put on Twitter last night, love the Falcons to win the game, would have leaned towards Tampa. It was a strong no play for me, though.
Last night. I had Tampa. That's how I went. I went Falcons straight up. Tampa Bay gets a spread. I really like Tampa, and I thought the Falcons might slow down. I think that was a statement game from them in terms of how they played in a spot where they were 0-3 since Jameis Winston got to Tampa. They went down there, they lit it up. The offense has a ton of different weapons. Matt Ryan is executing everything in Kyle Shanahan's offense to perfection, and I think Atlanta has to be considered one of the five best teams, if not higher, in the entire NFL, even if their defense isn't great.
Yeah, and Matt Ryan's been tremendous, and this defense has been playing. You know, I don't think that they're like an elite level defense, but they've been better than expected. And Vic Beasley has been coming on pretty strong for the Falcons. I think they're clearly the class of the NFC South. And with Matt Ryan playing at the level he's at, they'll be a tough out in January.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about the defense, too, is you got Keanu Neal, who hit Mike Evans really hard. Mike Evans had a great game.
Yo, Keanu Neal's pretty good, man.
He lays wood. He's like Cam Chancellor. That's what they drafted him to be. Vic Beasley. There are some Seattle tendencies to this defense that Dan Quinn's building. I'm not saying they're as good or even.
Quinn was on the hot seat potentially last year after that collapse down the stretch. He's been very good this year.
Look, we need to give coaches 3 years. That's just how it should work. Like,
or if you're Shad Khan, you give Gus Bradley 4 years potentially.
Right. No, he just got an extension this morning. You saw that, right?
I hope that you're kidding.
I'm kidding. I wish I could have freeze-framed you're like, what? All right, so we're going to dive into the games to come. We will mention them if they are our best bets. I don't know if you've made your picks for the Super Contest yet.
I have not, but I am narrowing it down. I have a number that I really like coming up for this week.
Okay, well, this is one I love, the opening game. No London game this week. It's a real shame. Lions at Vikings.
Unless it was on CBS, in which case it would
be. Right. That'd be great. I'd love it. Yeah. Just like the last week's Thursday night game was great. This week's was terrible.
Garbage game.
The Lions at the Vikings. The Vikings, even though they're coming off two straight losses, even though they looked inept on offense, even though they can't block anybody, and even though their offensive coordinator just resigned, which is the boarding school equivalent of not being asked back, the Vikings are -6 here. It's a stinky line. The Lions should be an obvious choice for the public. I would assume that the money is on the public. I love the Vikings. They're one of my best bets this week.
The money's on the Lions here, buddy.
That's what I'm saying.
The Vikings are a rare contrarian favorite in this spot, Will Brinson, and you know where I'm going with this game. Of course, we're pounding the Minnesota Vikings. It's a major bounce back spot here. The Vikings, not as bad as they looked on Monday night, not as bad as they looked a couple Sundays ago against the Eagles. And look, this Vikings team has played its best this year.
At home.
Adversity, backs against the wall, 2-game losing streak. Norv Turner resigns. Damn it. Sam Bradford's going to play well. This defense is going to smother Matthew Stafford and that Lions offense. I think the Vikings roll in this one. Skull, skull, skull. Vikings win, Vikings cover.
I'm trying to quickly look at the splits. You know, it's
72-28 Detroit.
Well, if you look at the away games, the Vikings have played four games away, right? And they're 2-2 in those games. They beat the Titans, but they allowed 16 points. They beat the Panthers, only allowed 10 points. They were rolling against the Panthers, but against the Packers, the Giants, and the Texans, they have allowed a combined 37 points. And they just blew them out. They didn't blow out the Packers, but they manhandled the Vikings and the Giants and the Texans. And I think we see that same team show up against the Lions. I this is one of my best bets of the week, and I love the Vikings. Steelers Ravens. This is a gem of a game on CBS Sports, NFL on CBS, 1 o'clock. Of course, this is one of the best rivalries in all of football. Steelers are coming in. Ben Roethlisberger expected to play, but still banged up, and yet the Ravens are favored, the 3-4 Ravens against the 4-3 Steelers. I almost think you just go in this game. This is a, don't you think, Nick, this is a throw out the records, throw out the stats. Vegas is going to make the home team the favorite by 2.5 or 3 points in this situation.
I'm actually seeing Pittsburgh here as around the favorite here where I'm looking right now. I'm going to head over to Sportsline and see what they've got the line at. For me, given the uncertainty with Ben Roethlisberger, Ravens coming off the bye, this is going to be a no play for me here. And I know that everyone's really going to love Pittsburgh in this spot, but I just don't have a strong feeling on this game. If you're going to make me pick, I guess like it's my gimmick to sort of take the home underdog potentially here to take the Baltimore Ravens. Yeah, I'm on Sportsline right now and has the Ravens at -3.
But wow.
But a lot, obviously, riding on who's going to start a quarterback in this game. It does look like it'll be Roethlisberger. I'll reserve judgment on this game until we know who is actually going to start, like when it's officially announced at quarterback for Pittsburgh. But I would lean towards the Ravens at this point. But again, a strong no play for me.
Yeah, I think I know I'm with you on no play. If the Steelers were getting 3, I would back the Steelers. I think that most of the folks,
and Ben's saying that it's a must play for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but I would assume that most of the folks who are listening to this podcast and have a tangential interest or are scrambling to their website of preferred website to make their choices, their picks, and their selections are probably going to see a situation where Pittsburgh's favorite of Ben's playing because it's probably off the board right now. Sportsbook.ag, for instance, has the Steelers -2, so you may be right there. In that case, yeah, I mean, I'm not touching it if Pittsburgh's favorite going into Baltimore because I just think it's a dicey situation with Ben. But I would lean towards the Steelers because I don't think the Ravens are very good. Jets-Dolphins, I don't think this is one of my best bets, but I really like the Dolphins. Dolphins -3.5 at home against a 3-5 Jets team. This is a game with the Dolphins coming off the bye. It's a divisional game. The records are about the same, 3-4 Dolphins, 3-5 Jets. But the Dolphins are going to try and run the ball, and I think we're really going to find out about this offensive line for Miami this week because if they can dominate that Jets front four and they can get Jay Ajayi going, I don't think he's going to run for 200 yards. I think 100 to 150 is going to happen, though.
Yeah, well, I think this game is really fascinating for a number of reasons. I'm fascinated to see how the Dolphins come out in this spot.
Yeah,
coming off the bye, riding that win streak where the run game has looked so good. This is a classic Miami Dolphins letdown game here against the Jets. And ultimately, I'm going to take the Jets with the points here because I don't think the Dolphins are good at the end of the day. When you've got two bad teams playing, I always like to take the points, especially you're getting the hook at 3.5 with the Jets. So I would take the Jets plus the 3.5. But let's see. If Adam Gase is really worth his salt as a head coach, then the Dolphins should come out here and they should be able to win this game and win it by 7-10 points. So we're going to learn a lot about where the Jets are at this season after their second half comeback against the Browns. We're going to learn a lot about where the Miami Dolphins are at in Sunday's game. As of right now, I'm going to take the Jets. It's not one of my best bets because I still don't know what these two teams are, but I think we'll find out after this game who the 2016 Jets are going to be and who the 2016 Dolphins are going to be.
I'm with you. My backing of the Dolphins is strictly on the belief that I buy into what Adam Gase is going to do. If this were Joe Philbin coaching this team coming off the bye, on the Jets. Yeah. Eagles at Giants. Giants -2.5. The Eagles coming off a bye, and of course their win in London where they intercepted a punt from Case Keenum in the end zone.
one of the maybe the worst throw I've seen in 30 years watching the NFL.
Just nobody there. It's like, oh, well, he probably ran the wrong
route.
Oh,
there was someone there. It was Dominique Rodgers. Plays on the other team.
He's just fair catching it. And the Eagles, of course, coming off a brutal overtime loss to the Dallas Cowboys. Both teams 4-3. This is a, I mean, look, it's, you're not going to have a must-win game in week nine, I don't think. But, I mean, this
it's
is
a huge game in the division.
Huge game in the division because the loser of this game, do they fall below the Redskins? Yeah, because the Redskins have that tie. And all of a sudden, you're in the basement of the NFC East. You're looking up at a lot of teams coming on, you know, the Panthers, the Saints, various teams coming on in the NFC. And, you know, look, it's not going to be easy to climb over multiple teams in this division. So huge game here. I actually like the Eagles.
I like the Giants here. Okay. I don't feel great about it, and money has pushed the Giants down from -3 to -2.5. I think if these two teams played on a neutral field, I think I'd take the Giants to win. I just think the firepower on offense, coming off the bye here, I'm expecting a better performance by the Giants offense. I think Odell Beckham Jr. should be rejuvenated here and a couple weeks to rest that hip, and I know limited in practice earlier in the week, but he's going to be full systems go coming up on Sunday. And Doug Peterson. Now, I know that I've crushed Ben McAdoo this year, but with Doug Peterson, I mean, that was like the Mona Lisa, what he painted on Sunday night. Somehow managing to choke that game away. I had the freaking Eagles +4.5. Hey, Doug Peterson, how'd you manage to blow that one for me, buddy? Just a series of inexplicable coaching decisions. I don't know if I've got faith in Doug Peterson. I don't have faith in Ben McAdoo either, but the Giants are home in this spot. You're getting them in a smidge of value here at under the key number of 3 at -2.5. Not one of my best bets, but do give me the New York Giants to win this game and cover.
I lost my fantasy matchup last week by 0.18 points because the guy who was playing had Dak Prescott. Thanks, Doug. I also like the under in this game, I think. 43.
I like the over, actually.
Oh, okay.
And I offer this up for anyone listening who loves fantasy football. I have been a New York Giants fan my entire life. I can offer no stone-cold guarantee more of a lock than Darren Sproles annihilating the Giants defense. I mean, he might as well exchange his jersey and put on Brian Westbrook's old jersey because he's going to kill the Giants on Sunday.
By the way, if you people out there, you're listening, you can follow Will, you can follow me. Me on Twitter at Will Brinson and Nick at The Costas. And if you're inclined, you can tweet us questions. Like, if you have a question about a specific game that you don't think we properly answered on here, or a question about somebody you want to start, or a question about an over-under, hit us up on Twitter. We like to talk on Twitter.
Please.
We'll hang out on Twitter and say things and stuff. Cowboys and Browns. I hate this game. Are so obvious at -7 that they're going to go in there and trounce the Browns because the Browns' defense is awful. But I'm backing the Browns again to cover this game.
There's no question. I think Cleveland could win this game out.
No.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Now, I'm not saying they're going to. I'm going to pick Dallas in my straight-up picks for the site. But I wouldn't be shocked if the Browns won this game. That's not me trying to hedge and saying, oh, like, I think they can win. I'm not going to take credit for it if the Browns win. I'm not going to say, oh, I picked the Browns. I'm not picking the Browns. All I'm saying is I wouldn't be surprised if Cleveland won this game here. It's such an obvious spot for the Cowboys. They're a public side. They're America's team. Everyone's in love with Dak Prescott. Dallas should have lost last week. Let's be real.
Dak Prescott wasn't good.
No, he wasn't good. But he got the overtime touchdown, and he gets all the headlines and the plaudits as a result. Very quietly here, the Browns getting Corey Coleman back this week. Rookie wide receiver. The last time we saw him in week 2, albeit catching passes from Josh McCown, he looked electric with 2 touchdowns. Cowboys secondary down Morris Claiborne and Barry Church. Even with Cody Kessler under center and not Josh McCown, I think the Browns will be able to move the ball and score some points. I love the Browns to cover this spot. It's going to be one of my best bets, Cleveland +7 points.
So we talk sometimes about where all the money's going. You can look it up. I mean, I'll tell you, you tweeted something, I think it was yesterday or maybe Wednesday. It was Wednesday, where you're like, I see this as a Vegas bounce back week, because the books took a pounding last week.
This is what I call it. The Empire Strikes Back, right? Like, there are weeks where the public is like Luke Skywalker at the end of A New Hope blowing up the Death Star. But then all of a sudden,
spoilers. No, I'm just kidding. I've seen it.
The movie came out in 1977. If you haven't seen it yet, probably you never will see. And you should go watch all the Star Wars movies. Maybe not.
Is New Hope the Star Wars?
New Hope is Star Wars Episode 4, the first one.
Oh, okay. And then it's 4.
And then 5 is Empire Strikes Back. 6 is Return of the Jedi. They did the prequel.
Oh, and then 1, 2, and 3. One is a stupid Jar Jar Binks thing.
Yes. So listen, if you're going to watch the Star Wars movies, definitely watch the last one, Force Unleashed.
The last one was really good.
You want to watch, obviously, A New Hope. You want to watch Empire Strikes Back, which is the best for my money. Return of the Jedi is great. Revenge of the Sith is decent. Attack of the Clones is terrible. And Phantom Menace was one of the worst movies ever made.
Maybe it was Phantom Menace, I think, that scared me off. All right, so, but to that point about the Revenge of the Sith Lord Darth...
Yeah, so anyway, Darth this Helmet. Week, The Empire Strikes Back.
No, but I'm looking at this, I'm looking at these numbers, Nick, and I'm going to tell you something. I got an inclination here, and I'm not going to do it, but I got this inclination. So 69% of the bets, nice, are on the Chiefs. And we'll run through the rest of these games that we haven't talked about. 72% are on Detroit. 65% on Philadelphia, 79% on Dallas, Miami, New York kind of split, 74% on Pittsburgh, 81% on New Orleans, 78% on Carolina, 72% on Green Bay, 63% on San Diego, 68% on Denver. Everybody is loading on particular things that look obvious, which means, like, I'm inclined to just take these numbers and just make my picks against the public. I mean, am I crazy for thinking that?
Is about to strike back Will Brinson, and it starts with the Cleveland Browns against the Dallas Cowboys.
One of the other games you mentioned that was a public, heavy public favorite, Jaguars and Chiefs. Chiefs minus 7, despite the fact, Nick, that they're starting Nick Foles at quarterback.
You know, this is tough, buddy, because I kind of want to take the Jaguars in this spot, and I think people listening probably would expect me to take Jacksonville. You know, I will take Jacksonville. I actually am going to take Jacksonville to cover this spread, but I don't feel great about it. I don't think it's going to make my super contest card or be one of my best bets here. Now, interesting, right? So the number opened at 8.5. Public's on Kansas City. The number has dropped to 7 or 7.5. So more money is going on Jacksonville. So you have to ask yourself, do you trust Blake Bortles, right? Do you trust him with the new quarterback guru trying to fix his mechanics? Do you trust Nathaniel Hackett calling the plays now on offense in place of Greg Olsen? Do you trust Gus Bradley to get this team fired up to play after they were listless, pathetic, insipid, and uninspired last Thursday night against the Tennessee Titans? I see you smiling. That was a good run of words by me. Thank you very much, buddy. I don't know if I can fully trust them, which is why I don't know if I could lay my hard-earned American money on it or make it one of my super contest picks. But if I'm picking games against the spread, I will take the points with the road team, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right, Tim. So I mentioned the percentages earlier when I reeled them off. I was talking about percent of bets and not percentage of the money. The one thing, now I'm trying to look, yeah, it's like 70% are on KC in terms of percentage of bets. But then I go to our expert picks page, and there's only two people, me and John Breach, that have the Chiefs. Everyone else is backing the Jaguars, and I think that's surprising to me, because I know that Alex Smith is out. I know Spencer Ware is likely going to be out, but Blake Bortles and the Jaguars are a horrible, horrible, insipid, disgusting, repulsive, acronistic. That's not even a word. I was trying to yell big words. They're terrible. They're a horrible football team.
Indeed.
So I'm going Chiefs here.
Great. I'll take the Jaguars. You'll take the Chiefs. We'll go heads up.
Cool. For meaningless, whatever. We're going to pause really quickly for a quick commercial break.
Hey, sports fans. If you're like me, you love a pickup basketball game or a round of golf with your friends. And maybe you thought an awkward jump shot or a few ugly swings were causing your chronic back pain. Truth is, you could be painfully wrong. Because if your back pain started before age 40 and has lasted longer than 3 months, it could point to an inflammatory condition called ankylosing spondylitis, or AS. To learn if your symptoms could signal AS, take a short quiz at asbackpainquiz.com. Then, talk to your doctor. Find out if you could be painfully wrong. This message is brought to you by AbbVie.
Okay, Saints 49ers, another big cash cow game. Everybody, literally everyone in the expert picks on CBS Sports are taking the New Orleans Saints. And I wanted to initially, Nick, and I bet this is, you're going to take the 49ers because that's what you do.
That's right.
I wanted to take the 49ers. I'm sick and tired of the 49ers not covering. I can't take it anymore. They have, and this is why I should bet the number and not the thing. I'm just frustrated by taking the 49ers every week and they lose to bad teams no matter the situation, no matter the spread, no matter where they're playing, no matter who they're playing. It's driving me nuts.
And?
and I can't take. I've just done taking the Niners. But then everybody takes the Saints, so now I want to flip back to the Niners.
Bro, I'm gonna take the San Francisco 49ers in this spot. I can't believe I'm gonna do it here, buddy. But you said it. This is sort of what I do, right? Going with the home underdog in this spot here. Now, I'm gonna wait to see. I put my Super Contest picks in on Saturday morning officially, so we're taping this on Friday in the early afternoon. So not officially gonna be one of my Super Contest plays here, but I'm leaning towards taking the Niners in this spot here. You gave a lot of good reasons why, right? Saints on the road here, coming off the emotional win. 49ers coming off the bye at home here against a suspect defense. I think Colin Kaepernick's going to have a decent game here. I actually like him a little bit in daily fantasy coming up this week. I think he's going to be able to make some plays. I like San Francisco to cover this spread and keep this game relatively close. Give me the Niners.
When everybody, 82% of the bets are going on the Niners, the line is rising. So San Francisco is getting more points, which is not surprising because that's how it works. And, I mean, I don't know. I just can't. They got whipped up by the Buccaneers, and the Buccaneers are terrible. Whipped by the Buccaneers. I just can't. I feel like the Saints have a little bit of mojo going right now. They're playing a little bit better defense. This is not a great spot for Drew Brees outdoors, but against a bad defense, and the 49ers can't stop anybody just feed Tim Hightower, which sounds weird, and Mark Ingram, I guess.
It'll be Ingram, I think, by the way.
It should be. It's ridiculous. All right, the other game that is similar to that, in that a NFC South team that people want to like, but isn't very good, but has kind of played all right lately, is traveling all the way across the country and going up against a pretty bad NFC West team, the Panthers, -3 at the Los Angeles Rams. Only Dave Richard is brave enough to back Jeff Fisher's climb to .500. I've got the Carolina Panthers. They were almost one of my best bets, but I replaced him with the Buccaneers. So that sucks.
I'm going to join Dave Richard here, buddy.
I know
you
are.
You know what? We are like conquistadors. I am Vasco da Gama. I am going to be taking Case Keenum and the Los Angeles Rams here. And it's not a play on Case Keenum. It's a play on this Rams defense. I think they'll harass Cam Newton all game long. I don't think Kelvin Benjamin's going to have a good game. And I think the Todd Gurley coming off the bye week will get going a little bit here. I like the Rams to cover this spread here. And I think the Rams are going to win this football game outright. Now, before you tell me I'm crazy, this is a Rams team already this year that has victories over the Seattle Seahawks. They beat the Arizona Cardinals. They are capable of beating some good teams, and I think they add another pelt to the wall coming up on Sunday. I think that they down the Panthers here. Give me the Rams plus the points.
Is there any way that the Rams can win and this game goes over? It's 44.5.
No.
Right. I like the under in that game. I don't think Carolina is going to score.
I don't think Carolina is going to score many points in this game.
I don't think Carolina is going to score more than 25, right?
No.
Aren't scoring 25.
No.
The Rams literally cannot score 25 points.
No, the Rams only scored 20 over 25 in that Monday night game week one against San Francisco, which is looking like one of the The only way the Rams will score over 25 points is if Kurt Warner, Isaac Bruce, Marshall Faulk, and Torrey Holt come out of retirement.
All right, seriously, how is this game going? How is this game going?
Special teams, defense, it's within the realm of possibility.
I mean, it could happen.
Case Keenum could turn it over a bunch of times. Cam could fumble the ball or get returned for a touchdown. It's possible.
The Rams have scored 0, 9, 37 against Tampa Bay, 17, 19, 28 against the Lions, and 10. It's not going over. There's no way it's going over. Carolina's defense is playing. I say there's no way it's going over. The money's probably all on the under, too.
Nah, the money is on the under right now. Opened up at 46 down to 44.5. It'll hover right around that area. If it does go under, I don't think it'll be by much more than 44.
Yes, which means it'll probably hit them 45. All right, I'm not touching it then.
23-22 Rams.
Or Panthers. I need the Panthers to get a win. We got them as my Super Bowl pick. I'm hoping they can get back in this thing. Feel like an idiot for that one.
How'd that Panthers 50-point Super Bowl prediction do for you last year, buddy?
My bold predictions suck. They always suck. They're terrible. I never get bold predictions right. People take them so seriously. It's because I'm so...
They really do. Well, because they're not doing them.
Yeah, and also, I feel like I'm a pretty moderate guy when it comes to... I'm not out here, screaming, you know, Skip Bayless hot takes or anything. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, but so when I like go, when I'm like, Jameis bold, and it's like highlighted bold prediction. Jameis Winston has 30 interceptions. He was on pace for it. And then these lunatics from Florida State Twitter.
You still get tweets about that?
Nah, not because he sucks now. The people backed off of it. All right. Titans at Chargers. Chargers -4. I think that's down from 5.5. Does that mean, but all the money, that is a red flag Magoo galore. All the money's on the Chargers and the line's moving towards the Titans.
Yeah, here's my issue with this spot here. San Diego's banged up at the linebacker position, inside linebacker. DeMarco Murray, I know he's got the toe. He's going to play. With him and Derrick Henry, I think the Tennessee's going to be able to run the ball quite well. The Chargers have got injuries at the receiver position. Tyrell Williams and Travis Benjamin status, both up in the air going into Sunday's game. Hunter Henry's dealing with an injury as well. I like the Titans in this spot getting the points. If it were 3, I would not feel good about it. But the fact that it's above 3 and at 4, I really like the Titans here. I could see this being a 3-point Chargers win, which would give the Titans a cover. I'll take Tennessee with the points.
The one thing about this is I think people are forgetting that people remember last Thursday and the Titans thumping the Jaguars. They forget the week before when the Titans were absolutely embarrassed late by the Colts. Now, the Titans should have won that game, but they didn't. And the Colts are a bad football team.
Yeah, it's just, San Diego's so banged up right now on both sides of the ball. I don't know. And again, 4.5 down to 4, despite the fact that the public's on San Diego, would lead you to believe that Tennessee's the sharper play here.
All right, another one that the public is all over and I like is one of my best bets. I was just insulting the Indianapolis Colts. They are 7.5-point underdogs to the Green Bay Packers in Lambeau, the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. Teach. I like the Packers here, Nick.
I liked the Colts all week. I considered pulling the trigger on the Colts upset special. I cannot do it. I just can't do it here. The number has gone up from 7 to 7.5 with the public on the Packers, which shows you that that's where the money's going, both public and it seems like sharps on Green Bay here. I want to take Indianapolis, right? Because I have the, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to take the Colts with the points here. I don't feel great about it, but you're going to put me on the spot. I'll take Indianapolis, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm not going to give you a mathematical reason. I'm not going to give you any sort of reason that makes football sense. I'm going to give you a hunch that I have in this game.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Andrew Luck is going to use this national TV 4 o'clock game on the East Coast, 4:25 against Aaron Rodgers on CBS, of course, in a game that you can watch on CBS. I think that this is going to be a Luck statement game saying, hey, everybody, I'm still here. And I'm pretty good. I think the Colts are going to score a ton of points in this game. I think this game is going to go over the posted total of 54 or 54.5. I think both teams get in the 30s. And I think that the Colts score enough points to fall inside the number. Packers win. Colts cover. Huge game. Huge game.
Huge.
My guy, Andrew Luck.
I'm cool with that because I got Luck in fantasy. If I got the Packers as my best bet. I mean, you can't do, one of your best bets can't be the over. I like the over more than the Packers.
I think that this game will go over. I think it's going to be like 41-37.
It's an obvious over game, but Andrew Luck is going. The thing is, the Colts aren't going to get up. So here's the thing is, no matter who gets up, the other team is going to score. You know what I mean? Like the Colts aren't going to get up and just lock down the Packers on defense, and the Packers aren't going to get up and lock down the Colts on defense. Both of these teams are good for some garbage time points if they are losing, which means if you get to 24, I think you're going to see 31-24 at minimum, right?
I think so. I don't think there's any doubt, actually. Yeah.
So the Sunday night game, before the Sunday night game, you know what I like to do, Nick? I like to wander downstairs and ask my wife, what are we having for dinner? And you know what?
And what's her answer?
She's like, I've been slaving on this dinner. Why? What are you doing? Watching football? I'm like, yeah, well, that's what I do for a living. I'm watching football. Leave me alone. God.
I will say, buddy, I really do love that. Like, I say to girls all the time, I have to watch the game for work. And they can't argue.
Yeah. Right. Like, I watch. I'm like, she's like, you don't cover baseball. I'm like, but see, this guy was like a recruit in college that almost went and played in the NFL, and he might come back. She's like, that seems like a lie. I'm like, well, it may be a lie.
Also, it's game 7 of the World Series, and I'm watching.
Right. I just told her that, yeah. She's cool with it. I gave up NBA for marriage, so it's okay. But you know what my wife was not a great cook, aka not a great cook. When we got married, she has since, thanks to the fine folks at Blue Apron.
I love Blue Apron.
Look, I've got the menu card.
This is not a video podcast, but Will is actually holding up the blue Apron menu.
So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to let you, Nick Costas, pick what we're having for dinner on Sunday night. Now, it's possible that you could be vetoed, but I have a feeling I know which one it'll be.
Okay.
We have three choices here. First of all, we have, and this is cool, sometimes they'll use guest chefs, Blue Apron will. This comes from Zachary Engel, the chef de cuisine at Shaya in New Orleans, a modern Israeli restaurant.
I love Israeli food.
Right. Well, this one, Shaya was named the James Beard Foundation's best new restaurant of 2016.
James Beard's serious business.
That's baller stuff, yeah.
Yep.
What this is a seared salmon with glazed carrots and saffron yogurt sauce. See there. Looks fantastic.
I don't like salmon, personally.
Neither does my wife.
It skeeves me out.
You have correctly ruled that one out. Yes. I love salmon. I think I actually went in the Blue Apron app, which is easy to use.
Every single member of my family, except for me, loves salmon.
I'll go back in the Blue Apron app and change our selections, because you get to pick from like a different number. I'll change our selections so that we get the salmon. She's like, I changed this. I don't know how that happened.
I don't like salmon.
Our number two choice, roasted pork with beet and cranberry agrodolce. It appears to be a whole grain with a bit of sugar, vinegar, and whole mustard seeds to bring out the sweet, tangy flavor. This is basically a play on a Thanksgiving dish. November.
I would love, by the way, if I could somehow, if all this broadcasting thing doesn't work out and I don't kill myself as a result, I would love to, write menus.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just coming up with fun adjectives to describe food. With a dollop of sour cream, what was that? Like the sweet, tangy flavors. Like, I love stuff.
Our fall inspired agrodolce features fresh cranberries and red beet cooked with a bit of sugar, vinegar, and whole mustard seeds to bring out their sweet, tangy, and earthy flavors. I want to bathe in that. And finally, if this were a betting situation, this would be -165 on the board, by -210. Crispy chicken with mashed potatoes and collard greens.
Oh, my God. Sign me up for that.
Which one are we having on Sunday night? That's the
question.
You're
having the crispy chicken.
Absolutely. That's
courtesy
the choice.
Courtesy of our good friends at Blue Apron.
And you can get three free meals from Blue Apron. Go to blueapron.com/RTP. Check it out. It's fresh ingredients. It's delicious. I love it. Nick loves it. You'll love it. Cooking is fun now. All right. Sunday night game. Broncos at Raiders.
The Raiders.
The Raiders, Teej.
Chris Berman can never retire.
I know he probably will though.
He can't.
But I don't want to promote another podcast on our own podcast. But do you listen to Pardon My Take at all with the Bars?
I legitimately, true story, I don't listen to podcasts.
That's okay. I mean, I listen to this one. The guys on Pardon My Take do a Berman TJ impersonation every Monday where they come up with like fake puns and they react to every game. It's hilarious. But they're good podcasts. I like to work out and listen to podcasts. And
I am a fan of both of those guys. And I think they're very funny on Twitter. I met them both very funny in person. But
both very funny. Yeah.
I do not, like I said.
I don't think it's not an indictment of them, Nick. It's okay.
I listen to music.
Yeah, sure.
I don't listen to podcasts.
No, it's cool. Yeah. Broncos at Raiders. The Raiders have now moved to -1.5. It was a pick 'em earlier. I guess that means the money is on. Oh, God. The money's on Denver. Red flag, red flag. I got Denver as a best bet. I might just change all my picks to be against the money. To me, this game is obviously Denver because the secondary for Denver is so good.
Does it change your mind here? And I only say this because I just saw this on Twitter like 3 minutes ago. Aqib Talib out for Sunday's game.
That certainly does change my mind. Okay, that would explain the line shift then. Chris Harris, still one of the five best cornerbacks in the league. Aqib Talib playing like a top. They might have two of the top five guys. I don't know that Chris Harris is an ideal matchup for Amari Cooper. I think you'd rather have Talib. Derek Carr is slinging the ball. I just think that Denver defense gets to him, and Oakland hasn't shown me enough on the defensive side to convince me that they will stop Devontae Booker in the running game. But certainly with no C.J. Anderson, with Trevor Siemian playing quarterback, this could be a game where this is a low point total, 44 for a game featuring the Raiders.
I like the Raiders in this spot here because of those injuries that you detailed. The Aqib Talib one's a huge
That's
injury.
That's huge. It's huge.
Raiders playing at home here. I don't have a lot of faith in Trevor Siemian. Devontae Booker's a little banged up here.
This is a statement game for the Raiders, too.
It's a huge game. And actually, it's the game that I'm looking most forward to this entire week
100%,
in the NFL. Like, I am going to be locked in. I can't wait for this game coming up on Sunday night.
See, no, this is a situation where, Nick, I truly believe – that America has been waiting all day for Sunday night. Like, America is sitting around waiting all day for Sunday night, and that's okay. Now,
and not just to watch Carrie Underwood sing.
Right, exactly. But, like, it's,
I think the game's going to be very intriguing, excited for it.
Not going to be a blowout.
It won't be one of my best bets, but I'll take the Raiders.
I got the Broncos. Bills at Seahawks on Monday night, finally, before we get to our interview with Joey Bosa. Seahawks -7 against the Bills. The Seahawks are 4-2-1, a very uninspiring 4-2-1. You feel like they need Thomas Rawls back. They got to get CJ Procise involved more. Russell Wilson needs to get healthy. Their offensive line needs to stop stinking. And yet, I like the Seahawks to bludgeon the Bills here.
Not a chance, buddy.
No?
Not a chance.
They've been on the road
too.
You
just gave, like, amazing reasons to take the points with Buffalo.
Yeah, that's true. I don't like that. I just don't. Yeah. I got to rethink my whole situation this week. I'm out of sorts. You obviously have the Bills.
100% have the Bills.
Okay, I've got the Seahawks in this spot. We are off. We are at odds in some of these, which means that you've got you're back in the Vegas side. And I'm Johnny Public over here.
Well, listen, it's been great the last couple of weeks here. Now the question is, will this be Return of the Jedi, or is it going to be The Empire Strikes Back?
I have a major red flag about all of these picks. I'm serious. I might just go against the public. I might go anti-public. Like, just reverse course and make all my picks against the public. I don't have
this
a problem.
This is what's going to happen. I'm going to dress Pete Prisco up like Boba Fett. We're going to send him to your house in the Carolinas here, and he's going to freeze you in carbonite and bring you here. And you're going to just be as a monument to losing here, frozen in carbonite in the Fort Lauderdale offices of CBS Interactive.
I'm going
to
buy a John Q. Public shirt.
Who's Jabba the Hutt in this instance? I don't want to offend anybody here.
I don't know. It's probably best not to say any names.
Yes, I'm not going to say it because I don't want to, but there's only one obvious choice.
All right, Nick, it has been real.
What are that person's initials?
I have no idea.
Shut up.
We're going to talk to Joey Bosa, who to me has suddenly become the leading candidate to win Defensive Rookie of the Year with the way he's playing in a limited amount of time, like Tom Brady for MVP. So thanks for listening. We'll talk to Joey Bosa right now. How's the rookie year going? Seems like it's going pretty good since you got in that lineup, right?
Yeah, not too bad so far.
Would you say that you feel like the adjustment has been easier or more difficult than you expected?
I knew it was going to be hard, so I think it's been pretty much what I've expected. I knew it was going to be tough.
Has it been, you know, relative to how you were used in college from a scheme perspective? Has it been significantly different, you know, with how they're moving you around, how they're playing you? I mean, and clearly your ability to rush the passer has not been an issue coming out of the gates.
Yeah, it's a little different, but all in all, it's really not that different. It's 3-4, 4-3, but really, I'm just playing that defensive end spot.
Yeah, so I mean, like three. So like, you're fine just rushing from the 4-3 on the end, and then if you got to play the 3-4. I mean, do you think your run stopping ability in college? Because that's something. Looking at your play at Ohio State, I mean, it kind of went unnoticed. You know, people talk about defensive ends and pass rushers, but your instincts as a run stopper might even trump your ability as a pass rusher. Do you think that's something that goes unnoticed?
No, I think it's a really important aspect of the game. If you want teams to pass, you got to stop the run first. So obviously everybody loves a pass rusher, but to get to the quarterback, you got to stop the run first.
Do you feel like the people leading up to the draft, it seemed like people, I thought it was kind of stupid personally. You know, they're like, well, Joey Bosa might have a ceiling, but I mean, what are you, like 20, right? Or 21? I mean, and it's, a productive player in college. It seemed to me like the upside was there. Do you feel some vindication coming out of the gates hot that people, for anybody who doubted you before the season?
Yeah. I mean, always with that kind of stuff, I tried to keep my head out of it and not listen to any of the noise. But I think it just says a lot to my hard work and my dedication to wanting to be great at what I do.
Who is the funniest teammate you have on the defensive side of the ball?
I think me being in our room is pretty damn funny.
What has he done? Have you been surprised at these veterans and their treatment of youngsters like yourself in the locker room?
Oh no, they've really been great. It's just funny being around guys that have been doing this for so long.
Anything pop to mind that makes Brandon Mebane the most humorous fellow on the defensive side of things?
I just think the fact that he's a 10-year vet, he's always just cracking little jokes about stuff that people are doing. It's just funny little wisecracks.
Have you ever heard Philip Rivers say an actual swear word?
No, he doesn't.
Do you really?
Gummit and stuff like that, yeah. No, he's never.
Do you think that that's because of his Southern Catholic upbringing, or do you think that's because he has so many children at home that he has to just always watch his language?
I really don't know. My coach and my D-line coach, Coach Johnson, was the same way in college. I think it's just a choice they made.
Huh, interesting. If you had to have somebody play you in a movie, who would play Joey Bosa in a movie?
What's Thor's name?
The who's name?
From the Avengers.
Oh yeah, that's actually a really good call. I'll have to Google it. Hold on.
I think that's Chris Hemsworth, right?
Oh, all right, there you go, Chris Hemsworth. Yeah, that's a good call. But you don't have the long locks anymore. You had those after the at the Super Bowl, I think, right?
Yeah, maybe if I had the long hair still.
Did you choose to cut the hair off, or is that like a, because you know, I mean, you got, you know, did you cut it off before the draft or after the draft?
Right before the draft. That was my second time cutting it, but I mean, it's just a lot easier, short, a lot cooler as well.
Yeah, I guess in the weather out in, well, it's 70 degrees out in San Diego constantly, right? I mean, it's just nice out there.
Yeah.
What does Joey Bosa do in San Diego when it's an off day and you get to hang out and you're not worried about football? Where are you hanging out in San Diego?
Well, talking on the radio, apparently.
How many interviews have you done in your day off?
Number 5 or so, but it's all good. I'm pretty much at home most of the time anyway. I like my rest.
All right, right on. Talk about what you're doing with MedRx.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, being an athlete in training, you're obviously always trying to train smarter and harder than the next guy. And you know, nutritionally, it's important to fuel myself up the right way, and I usually start the day off with a good breakfast and one of the protein bars, the big 100 protein bars, and they've been really a big part of my training routine the last, you know, trying to get in shape coming in, missing camp. Obviously, I was training really hard at home, and all the stuff they've been sending me has been helping a lot.
All right, right on, Joey. Well, hey, thanks for the time, man. Best of luck this season. I hope you prove me right. I picked you to win Defensive Rookie of the Year before the season. I think you're locked into it, man.
All right, thank you.